Palisade Global Investments is pleased to present the Hard Asset Conference on Jekyll Island, with keynote addresses by Eric Sprott and Dr. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. The event will be sponsored by Triumph Gold Corp., currently drilling its 100% owned Free Gold Mountain project in the Yukon, and by Mexican Gold Corp., just weeks away from publishing its maiden resource on its Las Minas Gold project in Veracruz State, Mexico. Come join us at the Jekyll Island Club from October 19th to the 22nd. The event is limited to just 50 participants. Visit palisadeconference.com for more information. Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. Returning guest on the program with us today is Brian London. He is the publisher of Gold Newsletter and the host of the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is being held just a couple days after our conference in Jekyll Island from October 25th till the 28th in New Orleans. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Colin. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm feeling very excited today. It's Thursday, August 10th, and we're both looking at the same thing, which is a bunch of green lighting up on our screens for these gold and silver stocks. Gold has been up a couple days in a row now, 10 or 15 bucks the last couple days. So some excitement coming into the sector at the end of the summer. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think this kind of a gain would have been inevitable because we tend to see a rally into the end of the summer. There's thing is a typical summer doldrum, as my research has shown, but we do usually have a rise toward the end of the summer, and more often than not, the gold ends the summer rather at a higher level than it began the summer, which a lot of people find surprising. But of course, you know, this little gain we've had the last few days has been the result of tensions with North Korea. And those kinds of things never really last long. These geopolitical crises tend to be flashes in the pan, and people who speculate in gold on the basis of these events usually get left holding the bag. So, you know, we really need and want a longer lasting, more fundamental monetary driver for gold to create these rallies, to create longer term sustained rallies. And we don't quite have that yet, but I think we will. I think that's kind of what gold has been telling us, is that it's rising and has been rising in recent weeks, in the last month or so, and actually throughout much of this year for no real obvious fundamental reason. And I think what it's saying is that there's something coming up, and we just don't see it yet. But gold does have a bullish posture. It is in a bull market, and in such a market, it finds reasons to rise, and it reveals why it has been rising, you know, at some point down the road.
I would find it most unfortunate if any of this talk around Korea materialized into bombs being dropped, but you're right that most of these threats of geopolitical tension tend to move the gold price needle a little bit, and then they kind of quiet down and the gold price retreats. Maybe another thing to look at right now, though, Brian, is the stock market, which is near an all-time high, has had a couple trading days where it's off. Today, the Dow is down 140 points. Nothing yet where we can say we're anything close to entering bear market territory, but a lot of gold bugs have said that we need to see the stock market come off to drive some money into gold. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it won't take much of a shift in allocation from equities into gold and silver, you know, to see an outsized and really tremendous reaction, price reaction. And I know you and I agree that these kinds of political dust-ups don't last long and don't have an enduring effect on the metals markets. However, you know, this may be different in that we're seeing, I believe, a bit of short covering come into the market. And whatever the reason why, even if it is a geopolitical issue, if it forces short covering, which then can kind of feed on itself, if it forces for example, the large commercials start covering their shorts, then it can change the structure of the paper gold market to a much more favorable one for gold. So we may, for, you know, even for a short-term reason, get a long-term effect on the gold market out of this, especially, as you just said, if it precipitates that long-awaited correction in the stock market and perhaps even some longer-lasting or significant damage to the U.S. economy.
Brian, what about the fact that sentiment was reaching a very low point? I was looking at the silver stocks earlier this week, and in fact, we just had Brad Cook on, the CEO of Endeavor Silver. His stock, along with First Majestic, Hecla, Fortuna, I think even Tahoe, they were all at 52-week lows, and some of the silver stocks had some pretty tremendous sell-offs based on some missings in earnings the last couple weeks. Interesting to see those bounce back, and maybe a good starting point to a rally.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually corresponding just yesterday with Brad about Endeavor and what they had undergone with that setback in the markets. But, you know, as you say, what a difference a couple of days can make for whatever reason. I kind of sensed, you know, you talk about sentiment, broader investor sentiment being so negative recently in the sector, but I've kind of sensed sentiment turning and being much more positive among the smart contrarians in the market. You know, I was just up in Vancouver at the Sprott conference a couple of weeks ago, and I think there was a lot of enthusiasm there. We were financing a shell company that it recently acquired some projects that I was a co-founder of. And the sentiment for that financing turned on a dime during that show. In fact, it went from trying to get the placement filled to being oversold within a matter of a few hours. So I do think it's turning, and I do think the smart money is getting positioned into this sector and is looking at the end of this year and going into next year is a time when, you know, we're going to get back to those kinds of profits that we really enjoyed during that long bull market move in the precious metals and the junior mining stocks.
Investors like to gauge where they are in terms of market cycles, and if January of last year was indeed the bottom, and we're now a year and a half into this move, how long do you think that this gold rally is a place to keep your money in before you start to get to the point of being concerned that you'll go over the cliff, as Rick Rule says?
Well, going over the cliff happens typically in the more speculative derivatives of the metals markets, like the mining stocks, et cetera. The gold market itself is being moved by forces that aren't really related to investor sentiment. You know, it's these tectonic moves in economies and secular trends. And what we've seen is this tremendous buildup, these mountains of debt, particularly sovereign debt, that have been built up since the 2008 credit crisis. And debt is money, and there's also been tremendous money printing that's accompanied this, money creation. And this is the secular movement, the secular trend of our times. And I think that gold is seeing that this has to be resolved somehow. And in fact, that is the kind of move that will take 3, 5, 7 or 10 years to resolve itself. And so I think there's a lot of legs to this move. I think that market bottom we had was due to the a lot of hot money betting that the Fed was finally going to tighten. And I think what we're going to see now is that the Fed's ability, and really all central banks' ability, to tighten rates in this environment with so much debt outstanding is severely curtailed, that we'll never have what has typically been a normalized interest rate environment. We're not going to have that again, at least under the current monetary regimes.
Brian, you mentioned the conference, the Sprott conference that we were both just at in Vancouver. That's one of my favorite conferences because it attracts a true group of investors A lot of people obviously have Sprott accounts that go, but people are very passionate about mining. And I sense the same thing, that despite the fact that prices were low, sentiment was building, and happy to see that you had some success raising money there. What kind of conference are you throwing in New Orleans from October 25th to the 28th for prospective attendees? What can they expect out of coming to the conference?
Well, you know, the New Orleans conference is the oldest, really the granddaddy of investment conferences, the original retail investor conference and the original gold-oriented investor conference. So it does, like the Sprott event, appeal to a much more exclusive audience, a high-end event where people pay money to get in the door, pay a lot of money, frankly, to get in the door and travel to New Orleans. So it's a kind of a thing where we're known as well for bringing in big-name speakers that no one else does. It's kind of the legacy of our event. So we're doing it again this year. We always focus on geopolitics and economics, as well as the individual investment sectors, and particularly metals and mining stocks. And on the geopolitical end this year, we have Tucker Carlson, who's the big new conservative firebrand commentator out there. We have Charles Krauthammer, who's made our event his regular annual stop on the speaking circuit. He comes every year now and has a great following amongst our attendees because he goes out in the audience and commiserates and talks with people and really loves to mingle with our audience. We also have Robert Kiyosaki for the first time this year, who has an enormous following among investors, particularly real estate investors and self-made investors around the world. He's talking for the first time, and in fact, he's told me what he's really excited about for this year's event is sitting in the audience and taking notes, because above all else, he's a student of the markets and is looking forward to really learning from our speaker roster. We also have Judy Shelton, who I think is going to be one of Trump's next appointments for the Federal Reserve Board. She's a longtime gold advocate, an advocate of sound money, well-known economist who really doesn't appear much on the speaking circuit. And I think this is going to give our attendees an insight into the future of the Federal Reserve Board under Trump. We have Doug Casey, we have Peter Schiff, we have Dennis Gartman, we have Rick Rule, we have all of the major newsletter writers in the metals and mining sector. We're going to have dozens and dozens of the top companies in the sector exhibiting in our exhibit hall. And like we were known for as well here in New Orleans, we're going to have a number of spectacular entertainment events during the conference, where attendees can mingle with speakers and exhibitors and other investors. So we're really looking forward to it. There's a lot more excitement this year and interest. It looks like we're going to sell out our exhibit hall. Last year we sold out the hotel, so there is some urgency for people to register to make sure they don't miss out on this year's event.
Great. I know more information can be found on the conference at neworleansconference.com. Now, Brian, one last question for you. You were talking about a company you're raising money for up at the Vancouver conference. I'm not sure if it's the same company that you've co-founded, which is Thunderstruck Resources, which is led by Bryce Bradley, who I'm a huge fan of, and also Doug Casey's a major investor there. So I've been following the story for some time. But what's going on with Thunderstruck these days?
That's a great story. We secured a very large property position in Fiji, including two confirmed discoveries by Anglo. They were high-grade zinc copper discoveries, two separate discoveries, really, made by Anglo in the 1970s. And for a number of reasons, Anglo moved on. They had a large porphyry copper deposit discovery nearby. So they moved on from these VMS discoveries. And they just sat fallow, amazingly, since the 1970s, with very little work done on them. Interestingly, there's also a copper-gold porphyry on the land position as well, and a very interesting gold exploration target. So we are raising money to to chase after the gold targets first, the copper gold targets are something we're looking to joint venture to a major company. And we're going to embark on an exploration program now to look at some of these high-grade gold showings that we've discovered. But it's a remarkable land position with four distinct projects, and we've gotten a lot of a good reaction and response to our recent financing, so we're going to go in and start drilling.
Excellent. Brian, thank you so much for coming back on the program. I hope for a very successful event in October. I'm hoping that I will be able to make it there as well in New Orleans, and we'll get you back on the show after the conference to go over what you learned and see where the market's at.
You got it, Colin. Thanks for the opportunity, and make sure you make it down to New Orleans. It's a great time.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?